All right. So, turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll get started here. I have 7 pages of notes. So we might be here a while. We might have to heat up all the food, but we'll get through it all. As the Lord leads, we'll get through this. But I was really excited. I've been studying on this chapter for a while, listening to other brothers in Christ. If you're not aware, I think it's called voicesforchrist.org. Awesome resource. Absolutely awesome resource. And you hear these brothers, and I don't know if they have Irish accents, Scottish accents, Australian. It's just awesome to hear these brothers preach. So I use that as one of my resources in study, as well as going through the Bible over and over again. So I pray it will make sense to you all as we get into this topic. Beginning of God's revelation, I want to do an overview of what we're looking at for this book. I want us to really think about why we need to study the Old Testament. One of the reasons why in Sunday school, when we started this new part of Sunday school, we started in Genesis and we're getting into Exodus, is I want our children, I want our boys to be grounded in the foundation of God's Word. And that's really important when I think about, you know, Duncan going off to college or to a career path or whatever it may be, that they're grounded in why do I believe what I believe, and the reason of what God was doing in giving it to Moses and us reading it and having a knowledge of it. So I hope I give you a good overview, and then as the Lord leads, we'll get as far as we can before our stomachs start growling, okay? I was smelling some of those dishes, and I can't even wait. I might have to be the first in line. I might pull the elder card and go first. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to get into the beginning of God's revelation. The actual first word, it means in the beginning, okay? And I want us to kind of think about a few things and for us to consider why God gave us these books, why God gave Moses these books, and why they are just as critical as any other book in the Bible. So I'm going to go through these, and I want you guys to get your brains, it's kind of, you know, cold firing an engine, right? Start revving up your engine and thinking about what we're doing. Even in Revelations 19:1, we get these verses. I'm going to give you quite a few verses here. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Revelations 4:11, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things. And by your will they existed and were created. Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. Think about, even in the New Testament, points to creation, and we see his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature. Remember, I might bring this up a few times as we think about what God is doing in Genesis, his power, his purpose, and his perfection, okay? Power, purpose, and perfection. And what does creation reveal, and how do we create a worldview of understanding that, and how do we relate to this, okay? Before I have Joel come up and read the chapter, I want us to think about a few more verses. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created, okay? The Hebrew word, the first word is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? We're going to talk about not just the Trinity of God, but also the majesty of God, okay? Again, power, purpose, and his perfection in it, okay? Hebrews 1:1-2, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Okay? I want you guys to get your minds around this because it gives us a foundation of God has been doing this from the very beginning. And he is, like it says in about Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So we understand his attributes. We understand his characteristics, his nature, and it gives us understanding how to live this life. Genesis 50:26. I brought this up. There's a reason why I brought this up, okay? From Genesis 1:1, we see in the beginning God created, okay? I want us to have this mindset. God created life, okay? The last verse in Genesis, what do we see? Death. Death. And it speaks of the fall of man, the curse on earth, and the consequences or the effects of it. And it's all because of what man, they incorrectly responded to who God is and what God was trying to do. Okay, think about that. So Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him and he was put in a coffin. Now I'd like to have Joel come up and... How do I hide this thing? Maybe it's just on my screen, but... Okay. Joel, would you like to... Can you come up and read the chapter for us? And if... I'd like us to stand as we read this chapter.
Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with the swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this precious word. We thank you for Genesis. We thank you for this first chapter, Lord, that gives us an understanding of who you are, Lord. Help us to have minds to think about this precious word and how it applies to our hearts and minds, Lord. And may it challenge us to live faithfully to a faithful Creator who has done all things well in perfection, Lord. And may we glorify your name as we live on this earth. We thank you, Lord, and I ask for help, Lord, that all that hear, Lord, will see you, Lord, and not my failure in presentation, Lord, but that they may see you first and foremost and give you glory. In your most precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. So I want us to think about those words and think about all those verses and how it applies to this chapter. There's not one single person that has seen the sunrise or seen the sunset or that has visited the beach or the mountain tops that have some way in some instance asked themselves, what's it all for? What is the purpose of all these things? I think there's a crying, there's a need in this world to ask certain questions at which the Bible presents all these answers. And we have to be ready to present this. We have to be on the forefront of giving an evidence of truth, of belief in the truth, and saying, listen, this is why things are functioning. Do you want to understand why there was a mass shooting in Uvalde? Do you want to understand how a person could take so many people's lives? Do you want to understand why there's a man going after a country, Ukraine? Well, let me share some words from the Bible. This is a reason to be very well versed in understanding the word, and can I say understanding some of the foundational truths found in Genesis. It's critical from senior years to parental years, to college, wherever you are in life, it is critical because the Lord will prepare us in better handling and having a better worldview in understanding this world. So this is what I want us to think about, the origin of all things. You understand, this is where we are in this life, and I'm really happy for Christian organizations like Institute of Creation Research, Answers in Genesis, you know, these Christians that are, some of them are, majority of them are scientists, but they're taking the foundational truth of the Bible first and then seeing how science can match up. But I really like that we have the truths in the Bible and we should start there. The meaning of life, the standards or the morals of life, marriage, the laws that we live by, it's all based on what we find in Genesis. And I want us to have this mentality. When we see the breakdown of society, when I started college, I took a lot of sociology courses. I was actually intrigued, and I actually thought for a second I'll be a sociologist or something, but then it got way boring. But I enjoyed it at first, how people interacted. But When we look at society today, and I'm telling you, it's getting worse and worse as you think about what, if you watch current events, abortion, pornography, homosexual behavior, lawlessness in schools, and violence. It all speaks to where their foundation is, and it's found in evolution, man's opinions, a very humanistic way of thinking, a philosophy that is centered around man's perspective, okay? I want you to think about that. When we understand the Bible, our perspective is given straight from God by God's word and God's truth, and therefore we run to the Bible when we don't understand something, right? When something doesn't make sense, we run here and we say, okay, does it match up? Does it make sense with what God has given me? But when you have a framework of evolution and man's opinion, it's all subjective, right? It's all subjective on the human experience and the human way of thinking. Emotional. Does it make sense? How does it make me feel? Whereas when it's based on God's word, you're in awe. You're in awe and you're like, how perfect an almighty creator has done this. A loving almighty creator has done this. It's really precious. I want us to think about some of these pictures I got off of Answers in Genesis. When you think about humanism and you think about when it's everything is centered and circling around a man's opinion, humanism is the philosophical stance emphasizing the individual and social potential and agency of human beings. Humans are the starting point for serious moral and philosophical inquiry. That's humanism. And when you start there, when you go from that perspective, your foundation is broken and it just comes in to attack the church, right? And your thinking. But when you start with a strong foundation of God's word, understanding creation, you have a solid Christian worldview that you can take anywhere and say, hey, that doesn't relate. That doesn't make sense in my understanding of what God told me in Genesis. God created marriage between a man and a woman. End of story. Nothing else makes sense. So when we have a strong understanding and the importance of understanding Genesis, we have a leg to stand on, and we develop children, we develop our families with a strong foundation. You know, I think about my children all the time. What are they learning? You know, and Anjali had a chance to be with a friend today at their church, which is a different denomination. And, you know, I took a step back and said, should I allow her? Then I said, no, it would be a good experience for her to see it and then dive into the Bible. Why do they do what they do? What are their beliefs? Does it match up? When you have a strong foundation, we get to stand on God's word and be able to share the gospel stronger. Here's another way of putting it. And you may have seen this before. I show this. I like showing this. When you have evolution, and they attack, what do they usually attack? They attack creation. They attack, is there a God? Or can there be multi-gods or many things or materialism or idolatry? They attack it by different ideologies and philosophies. And when we don't have a strong foundation on what we believe on Genesis and creation, it starts to break down. But when we, in our homes, in our personal lives, have a good foundation of understanding creation, of how God created, how God revealed himself through creation, we have a castle, like the picture shows, by which we can speak truth into people's lives and say, listen, that doesn't make sense. Look at the corruption of relationships and broken marriages and all these LGBTQT, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't make sense. And there's always a brokenness at it all. something missing that they don't understand, and we can attack it. So this is where we find ourselves in Genesis and the importance of studying Genesis. Introduction of Genesis. We're still in the introduction. Okay, we're getting there, okay? I'm going to go through some of these things. Facts about the book of beginnings. It's a book of theology, the study of God. God reveals himself. And I think what I'm going to mention is, you know, Moses is the author of this book. And Moses writes this book in the wilderness campaign, right? Why would God allow him to write it at that time? What was the importance of it? Well, I think, you know, the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, a land of many, 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 many gods, right? A land of pleasure, a land of prosperity. And they've just seen all that God has done, and now God is creating a group of worshipers, a nation of worshipers, and he had to bring confidence and assurance into who he is, and he allows Moses to write this amazing book, right? Divinely inspired to reveal who God is and how God created the world. We have the book of theology, history, roughly 3,000 years of history, Adam to Joseph. Again, Moses, written by the Spirit of God to Moses, combined with probably oral tradition. His forefathers that gave him some of these things. I think it's so critical. A nation of worshipers beginning to understand how God created the world and why they live the way they live, or why God is calling them to live the way they live. So I want us to understand some themes here as we go through this book. You see, definitely, we'll as we go into the fall, chapter 3, God's holiness, the effects of sin on the world, promise of redemption, foreshadowing of blood sacrifices, the coming of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Again, God in Genesis displays his power, displays his purpose, his perfection, his divine design of everything. And then you have perfection of all of it coming to a plan, right? God doing what God does best and orchestrating it all. Holiness, the effects of sin, promise of redemption, foreshadowing, and the coming of Jesus Christ the Redeemer. Some of the side themes here as we go and as each speaker speaks, you'll see the human experience, right? Of how they relate to God, but also their downfalls, but also you have successes. And the struggles with the effects of sin. Failures and successes in daily faith walk with God. So I want us to think about a few things here. There's quite a bit. There's a lot to cover in just in between verses also, but I'll do my best. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here we have the foundational of all truth that God has revealed in the Bible. Psalms 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from the everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Here I want us to understand as God, both the creator and origin of everything else. Before anything or everything, God existed. You know, we have this name of Elohim, right? Elohim. It's a plural name that means his sovereign majesty or triune nature of God. But it speaks of him as the origin of everything. Material-wise, he has created it all. And even in the name, you understand the majesty of God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You know, there's a understanding here in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and it goes from day to day to day, that I want us to, you know, think about. There's many things about theories of old earth theories and young earth theories. But I want us to kind of think about how would these theories form, and what are the consequences of each of these theories? You know, the old earth theory was a theory of very old earth and a universe 4 billion years old. And out of catastrophe, God created the earth that we know now. And, you know, this is the extended evolutionary kind of process, right? If you think about how Moses is writing, right? Moses is the writer. And he writes these things, and he writes these things in a way that he understands, right? And God is directing him. What does each day mean? He says each day God created, right? Each day God did something, God performed. And it was in the time frame of a day. I think it's unique that everyone tries to bring these theories in just to break down the foundational thinking of creation. Whereas God made it very simple. And we don't need to complicate these things. Over 400... this says day is used 2,300 times in the Old Testament. Yom equals day. Why only question Genesis as a day equals 1,000 years or a day equals 1,000,000 years? Whereas over Moses, I think himself used the word day over 400 times. And a day meant a day. But then everyone questions it in the first chapter of Genesis. Well, they're trying to break down what God is trying to tell the children of Israel and us today. The young earth theory, which says created no more than 10,000 years ago, there's no break between first and second verse. This is literal 7 days of creation, which is viewed by many evangelicals as truth. Many geological discoveries over the past 50 years also substantiate this view. And we could look at other verses. We won't have the time for that. But the word here, created, means to create out of nothing. Create out of nothing. Only God can do this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the whole universe and everything in it. This is powerful. In one verse, one day, we see God created the material used to do the rest. Now, I just want to say this real quick before we go to the second verse. Atheism assumes the, you know, existence of a God. Polytheism, created singular by one God. Polytheism, many gods. Materialism teaches that matter is eternal. Pantheism teaches that everything is God. God is definitely distinct from everything. Or naturalism, concept that all things in existence have appeared naturally and not by God as creator. You think about all these things, they're trying to refute what God has done and said in the Bible. And we, I believe, is very simple. We need to understand that God, in power, purpose, and perfection, he created all things. Okay? Intellectual design is what we see in these 6 days. Intellectual perfection. Let me go to the second verse. We have 30-something verses. Sorry. Okay. So the second verse here, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. We see here the creation of form without form. Earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Here we see the hand of the movement of the Spirit of God and what his work was going to be. His eternal existence before materials existed, his future purpose, anticipation in the formless earth, and his active presence revealed in the presence of his Spirit. I want you guys to think about God's creational method here was he has a creative word, like God said, and let there be light. He had the immediate effect of it, and there was light. And then there was also evaluation, right? So what is the evaluation? What does he say? it was good, right? This is God's creational method, and also there was an ordering, there was evening and there was morning the first day. So I want us to think about out of the earth and was without form, how does God bring structure and filling to the earth? So we see the days of forming was day one, day two, day three, and the days of filling, day four, day five, and day six. This kind of gives us an understanding of how God moves. First, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Next, we see without form and void, and now God brings all that he's going to do, okay? So here we see light created. Here we have the first recorded words of God. Let there be light. And there was light. I think that's a really interesting thing that we see here is an actual visible light separate from the sunlight which came later. Here we have the separation from light and darkness, maybe another way of thinking how God created the axis of the earth and the rotation, creating the separation and in turn creating the separation of the evening from the morning, which equals a day. I'm trying not to get too much into the details because there's many things we can take sides and we don't want to cause any division. So I'm trying to be a little general here and see God's divine direction and instruction in how he did things. It's just amazing. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:6 have been mentioned quite a bit. Just like the sunlight was shown in these verses, God showed, let light shine out of the darkness. He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have another point here, verse 6 through 8 here, the second day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse. Prior to this, we can understand that water covered the whole earth. We have the covering of the whole earth here. And now we have here God creates a firmament, an expanse between liquid water covering the earth and the waters in the expanse above. Space between the ocean and waters and the waters in the clouds. Basically, we can understand this as air. God creates the domain of the earth and then divides it in between them to control. I think this is awesome how God is orchestrating this and bringing form and filling to the earth. The third day, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So we see here separation, right? Separation, a division, creating the dry land, separating from the waters of the earth. Possibly one mass continent, but all make up of rocks and minerals and soils were all created at this point. All together at one point. God created all that was needed. Psalms 102 says, here the foundations of the earth can be contained. And God names the dry land earth and the water sea. So we have a shift now. It's from a formless earth to the first creation of life. And God speaks again, let the earth sprout vegetation, right? Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And it was so. What does this tell us? Grasses, herbs, and trees according to its kind. I think this is an interesting point here. According to its kind can mean that each was deliberately made, meaning tens of thousands of species all on the same day. All on the same day. I think that blows my mind when you think about it. He created all that was needed on earth and the species that were needed. And he's getting it ready for who? Man, right? He's getting the earth ready for all that is needed to be there. Also in the same plants and vegetations, God gave it the ability to reproduce more with its own genetic blueprint. What does it say? And trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. I want you, again, the power of God to do, in creation, right? The purpose of setting the earth together, the universe, the heavens and the earth, getting it ready for mankind, and then all of this being in total perfection. You know, when I've done some small carpentry, okay? I am not an expert at all, okay? I made a bed frame. I can't even count how many mistakes I have on it, okay? It's by no means perfect. I tried to, we had this, it's called a caryopla plant, and it's a plant that we use its leaves in our Indian dishes. I've tried many times to replant this thing, to get baby plants. They dry up in like 2 weeks. I am not someone that can do it easy. It's not a seed-producing thing. It's something that sprouts from the roots. It's very unique. I still have not figured out how to reproduce it. Can I tell you what God has done is amazing? He didn't like create something and say, ooh, I messed up over there. Let's get some white out. Let's get some white out and fix that later. No, that's not what God did. He created everything perfect in its design for a purpose. And I think that should give us great foundational confidence and assurance in all that God is doing. He gave us young and mature plants that were created. And God completed this task and saw that it was good. God had pleasure in it. There was perfection. There was balance in it. And it should give us great, great, great confidence in our understanding of who God is. Oh, man, I have less than 5 minutes. Whew. We'll get there, okay? The fourth day. We see here the creation of the heavenly bodies that give light to the earth. Lights in the expanse of heaven, planets and stars, firmament of heaven, where we call outer space. Even Micah referred to this today. He made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the expanse of heavens to give light on the earth. You know, here I see some purposes here. Lights were to divide the day from the night. For days and years, time explained maybe the measurement of the sun and the moon and the rotations of all these things. Signs to mark meaningful things. Seasons to indicate the time for particular signs to happen. It's amazing how God gives us this. And then these false people say, no, this was thousands, billions of years in between days. It doesn't make sense. Does God not have that kind of power to make this all in days, in the time of morning and evening, and give us all of this together? There's placement. We have even in Psalms 8, Psalms 147, Isaiah 40, 26, placement and naming of stars. This is how awesome this is. And different from the first day of just light, now we have the generators of light and God's pleasure in his work, and God saw that it was good. The fifth day, if we don't finish this, I'll say, Matthew, you have to do the rest of this along with his chapter. Maybe Matthew's listening. So the fifth day, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. The fifth day is huge, right? So now we move from the plants, the herbs, the vegetation, the food, all that's there, right? Everything before the fall was considered, was going to be vegetarians, right? So everything God has given, God's given the sustenance on earth, and now he creates creatures. Before this, everything has been created to sustain any kind of life. Now consciousness of life will now be created. So the living creature here can be considered the living soul, right? A living soul. Verse 21, the great sea creatures, great sea monsters. This is where you get these words in scripture, the Leviathan. Have you remember reading that? The Leviathan. Or the Leviathan in my studies was the Canaanite god Lotan. But it was not a god, but actually a creation of God, right? The understanding here is this book was given to who? The children of Israel and us now, right? Children of Israel just came out of Egypt, the land of many gods. And now God is giving creation account, the first five books of the Old Testament, to a children of Israel saying, I am the God of all of this. See my majesty. I have created all of this. This is why I want you to worship me. Power, purpose, and perfection. Here's the first blessing from God that we see. Be fruitful and multiply on the earth. An assurance to the people of Israel that everything God had created was perfect and in balance and functioned according to a divine design. The sixth day, creation of earthly living things. We see here, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and livestock. So what do we see here? Living creatures, living souls, cattle equates to the domestic animals that were needed at that time. Creeping things, God knew what was going to be needed ahead of time. Creeping things equates to small animals, insects, small reptiles. Our new kitten would be considered a creeping thing, okay? Not a need at all. The beasts, the wild animals of the earth, God created all these things. The earth was fully prepared for the creation of humankind, right? We know later on that man would be given, I think it was after Noah, right? They were given permission to eat the cattle, right? That was after Noah. So, creation of humankind, and I think we might have to stop around here. But I want us to get into this. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That's a huge thing to understand. And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what do we understand here? Here we have the climax of the whole creation story, creation of man. Created differently from animals. God takes a special interest in the creation of mankind. Let us make man, plural noun and plural verb. Meaning not just the Trinity of God was understood here, involved in the creation and all had a hand in it. But this word actually has an understanding of the majesty of God. Let us make him. Majesty of God in the Hebrew language, an image of God, a reflection of God's own spiritual nature, was the stamp upon man. Okay? This is in our image is the stamp upon man. What is that stamp? And I want us to make this unique here. It's the sharing of God's attributes, moral sensitivities, consciousness, and the ability to think abstractly. Man was created differently from animals. Man is created differently from all these other living creatures. And this was the climax of what God was doing. It's sharing in God's attributes, this image of God. Truth, wisdom, love, holiness, justice, personality, speech. Man in the image of God is a thinking, moral, and dignified being. And man is unlike the animals in that we are soul, spirit, and body. And with it, we have the capacity to love Him, worship Him, and have a spiritual fellowship with Him. Can you imagine the children of Israel understanding this? Understanding the majesty of God and understanding the stamp of God upon them. God's purposes in creating man make him ruler over all creation, dominion over these animals, and to subdue, meaning to gain mastery over all the earth. And then he also says, be fruitful and multiply, to produce life. Can you think about that? To produce life, to imitate God who created life. And I want us to think about this is a very generic term first of man, because in the later chapters, as females are created. I want us to think about that, and I want to close with just these thoughts here. I'm going to fast forward here. This is the book of beginnings, a book of understanding who God is and how we understand the majesty of God. How He uniquely, powerfully spoke these things into existence. Intellectually designed it with a purpose to love Him, to worship Him, and to know that you were uniquely created for my purposes and my plans. And that He created perfection, right? We're fallen now because of the fall and cursed, right? But He did these all things uniquely. Real quick, right? My son loves Lego. I know there's other Lego-loving people here. Aaron, how many pieces are in this? Over 300, 500 pieces in this, okay? And Aaron just woke up one morning and put this together by himself. No, just kidding. He had a booklet, right? Every Lego thing has a booklet. So it has design and has instruction, right? I asked him to do this simple motorcycle-looking thing. How many pieces? 42 pieces. I said, do this. And I said, wow, this is pretty good to do in like what you did in less than 30 or 15 minutes or something. He did this fast. I asked him to put all those pieces in again in this. And I was going to get someone to come and do this, like, in 5 seconds. Of course you can, right? There's intellectual design in all that God is telling us in Genesis chapter 1. An intellectual, divine designer that has put this and given us the world we see around us. We should have great confidence and assurance in all that God is doing. And know that since we are in the family of God, like 2 Corinthians 4:6, He has shown the light into the darkness of our hearts, and that we are in His family, we should have great assurance as we study this word and live for Him. I hope this all makes sense and it brings some kind of understanding as we study the book of Genesis. Because the children of Israel definitely needed it. As God was creating a nation of worshipers to understand His nature and who He is. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to think about the book of Genesis and to think about all, Lord, that You have created. Uniquely, purposefully, powerfully, Lord. Lord, and that You took pleasure in the perfection of all that You had done, Lord, and that You Lord, wanted to create worshipers to have fellowship with, Lord. It's amazing. Lord, allow these words to seep deep into our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would have a love to understand who You are more and to walk faithfully with a faithful Creator, Lord. Help us to be proclaimers of Your truth, of the truths found in Genesis, Lord, and that we can combat these false philosophies and ideologies of people just striving after man as the center of all the universe. No, Lord. Help us to proclaim that it's all about you. We want to bring you glory. We want to bring you honor and praise, Lord, and majesty. We thank you, Lord, for this study, Lord, and may you use it mightily in our lives and in the lives of our children as well. We thank you in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.